Well, the especially intense bushfire season has highlighted, amongst many things, the vulnerability of koalas. I'm sure you've seen the distressing images of burnt animals unable to escape the flames. Already under threat from land clearing, roadkill and dog attacks, the growing bushfire threat adds a new dimension to efforts to save koalas and their habitat. The Australian Koala Foundation estimates that somewhere between 40 and 100,000 koalas are left in the wild, and they're not the easiest animal to find and count. Our next guest has been leading research in southeast Queensland, where the koala is in particular danger, to come up with a better statistical model for predicting the location of koalas. Get this, using a combination of drones and virtual reality. Dr. Catherine Lee is Senior Research Fellow at the Queensland University of Technology and the ARC Centre of Excellence, known as ASOMS. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, Julian.
Just to start off with, how serious is the threat to koala habitat in southeast Queensland?
Well, I guess, as you mentioned in your intro, with various threats to their habitat throughout the whole of southeast Australia, like fire, drought that's happening across a lot of the continent at the moment, and primarily habitat fragmentation and loss. So all those things combined are threatening both the koala itself and also its habitat.
Well, before you got incredibly and impressively high tech, I gather that the standard way of trying to work out koala habitat is with ground surveys. What are some of the drawbacks with the traditional ground survey method?
Yeah, that's right. So traditionally and still today, and it's really important that we continue to do this, is that we will go out into the field and record whether we see or observe a koala. And that could be you actually see the koala or you see signs that it has been in the area. And so some of the complications about that and how it can be difficult is that koalas tend to hang out quite high in the canopy. And they don't move around much and they blend in really well. So they're actually quite difficult to see. And this means that, it's not always possible to get true information or the most information as possible when you're just using that method.
Does it also mean that some of the data might have a statistical bias in favour of places where ground surveyors can actually walk?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is what we've found in our research, that observer bias or survey bias really does affect the model that you end up developing with where you're predicting koalas will be and they won't be. And we saw with our work that we were predicting koalas just based on that ground survey data to be in very much open areas and urban areas because they were having similar habitat characteristics as where the observers could walk in the field along paths in open areas, in parklands. It's really hard to get into that rugged bushland to do the ground survey work there.
So bring in the drones. How exactly did you bring in the drones?
So we were working with a big team here at QUT across computer engineering and maths and stats and environmental scientists. And so the people that are developing what we call the remotely piloted aircraft systems, commonly known as drones, they can go up and do these surveys over areas where on the ground we can't actually get to. So they do these line transects back and forth in the early morning and in the afternoon and take images using thermal images to then take back to the lab and use what we call a koala detection algorithm to
a
work
KDA.
Out. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it picks up the hot spots of thermal radiance against the background cooler habitat, and then it works out a confidence rating as to whether that hotspot is really a koala or maybe it's something else. Maybe it was a possum, for example.
Right. But then the fascinating next stage of your research is that you take those images, and is it right that you get koala experts wearing VR headsets? This is an astounding image. Talk me through it.
Yes, that's right. So we contacted a few koala experts in the local region from across academia, government, citizen science, volunteer groups. So everybody that had some expertise in koalas, we got them into the labs here and put on VR headsets. And while they got used to that being immersed in the habitat of potentially where a koala might be or might not be, we asked them questions about what they thought the habitat suitability was while they were feeling themselves that they were actually there on the ground in the field looking at that habitat.
Well, I mean, I don't know whether that's a koala expert's dream or nightmare to actually be seeing them virtually, or just to not be in the bush looking with it for the real koalas. But when you sort of crunched that information, what did you find about your ability to accurately predict where koala habitats are?
Oh, it really drastically increased. So we were able to see from going from just doing the model with the ground survey data alone to then combining it with the thermal imagery and then combining it with the virtual reality expert elicited knowledge. Going step by step up, we saw an improvement in the accuracy of the model, which was just fantastic and really exciting in terms of what this can potentially offer.
Where did the idea of combining all these technologies come from?
Oh, I don't know, actually. I'm sure there must have been a seed somewhere back in the distant past.
Probably some koala sci-fi movie or something like that.
I mean, this is the great thing about working with a team of people who are from different areas and thinking about how they can merge their expertise and technologies to come up with new ways to do things. And I think that's sort of where it's really emerged from.
Well, as we heard earlier, dogs can be a serious threat to koalas. Not quite as high tech, but I gather that there are dogs who can also be trained to sniff out koalas. Can that actually be used to improve identification of koala habitat as well?
Well, yes, you're right. There's some research looking into that and it's been shown to have really good potential. And so I think, all of these different methods and technologies, if they can be combined together, just showing from our little case study about combining these three different methods for surveying koalas, that, if we can add in even more, then I would like to think that the ability of those models to predict where a koala is and where it isn't with greater accuracy for areas that we haven't actually been to yet, so unsampled locations, that holds a lot of promise. It's very exciting.
Absolutely. And just finally, Catherine, I gather that there's been a bit of a debate about exactly what the current status of the koala is. It was declared vulnerable in April 2012, but the Australian Koala Foundation thinks it should be critically endangered, and the Queensland Minister has declared koalas functionally extinct. Do you have a position in the great koala status debate?
Well, I guess I can only go with what is legislated, and right. As far as I understand it, at this stage, koalas are listed as vulnerable in Queensland, ACT and New South Wales under the Environmental Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act. And you're right, there is a bit of controversy over that from various people saying various things. But I wouldn't like to comment beyond a legislation listing of them at present.
Fair enough too. Well, I can't even imagine what the koalas make of the drones being around, but it's good to know that the thermal imaging and the drones and the virtual reality headsets are being applied to assist that great Australian friend, the koala, and finding their habitat. Catherine Lee, thank you very much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
You're most welcome, Julie, and it was my pleasure.